Afterward, the changing Republican presidential coalition. The two major party presidential coalitions in the United States are a bit like mutating organisms. They change constantly in a minor way and occasionally in a major way. Over the last half century, both coalitions have been undergoing considerable and interrelated upheavals. My own focus has been on the GOP, which had a significant and ultimately inauspicious transformation as it took over the South. In The Emerging Republican Majority, published in 1969, I argued that the collapse of the old Civil War framework would create a conservative and Republican presidential majority. This took place in two stages. First, Richard Nixon, with 61% of the national vote in 1972, and Ronald Reagan, with 59% in 1984, put together the new coalition, including the South, while still keeping most of the old support in the North, albeit slipping in places like Vermont, Cape Cod, Princeton, and the fashionable neighborhoods of Manhattan and San Francisco. That slippage on the margins was to be expected. This ended under the two Bushes. By 1992, after President George H.W. Bush had redefined his politics toward the South and the religious right, he carried none of these nine states: Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, Oregon, California. In 2000 and 2004, George W. Bush carried only one, Ohio, and by much smaller margins than Eisenhower, Nixon, or Reagan. The 1992 election, as this book's narrative makes clear, had potential watershed significance. Without Bill Clinton's personal moral shortcomings, the Democrats would have consolidated during the 1990s, won the 2000 election, and been in power to enjoy the rally-round effect after September 11, 2001. Instead, the increasingly religion-oriented and southernized Republicans won the White House in 2000 by a Supreme Court decision, enjoyed the rally-round benefits of September 11th, and still managed only a narrow victory in 2004. Bluntly putting it, I believe that a careful electoral analysis shows that what can be called the Bush coalition is too narrow to govern successfully and empowered only by a succession of odd circumstances in both 2000 and 2004 to win. Indeed, by 2006, George W. Bush had followed in his father's unique presidential footsteps. In 1991 to 1992, the 41st president had become the first White House incumbent to see his job approval plummet by more than 50 points. And between 2002 and 2005, his son followed suit. Both times, failed policies in Iraq were factors. Overambition combined with ineptness and more than a little deceit. By 2003 and 2004, the professed religiosity of the Republican electorate and congressional leadership, coupled with George W. Bush's periodic asides that God spoke through him, was becoming ever more defining of the GOP coalition and what it stood for. Prior to 2003, many of the new votes that the Republicans gained from religion took place in an essentially favorable crisis climate. The horrors of September 11th had fed a sense of end times among the faithful, while seeming to legitimize the younger Bush's biblical language and righteous nationalism. During this period, the theocratic implications, the depressing relation of Bush policies to aspects of the Left Behind series, and the pandering associated with the 2005 Schiavo episode were still little perceived. By 2005, the concern about the influence of the religious right visible in 2004 had taken hold, both in the polls and in national discussion. Thus, although no one can be sure what issues will dominate the next several presidential elections, it is useful to look at the Republican presidential coalition from a standpoint of religion, denominational biases, interest group power, theological correctness, and the consequent national vulnerabilities these entail. The red state versus blue state dimension of the 2000 and 2004 elections can plausibly be viewed in religious terms. For the Republicans, the old mainline denominations are no longer the pillars. There are three new regional underpinnings: the Southern Baptist Convention, the Mormons, Latter-day Saints, and the Lutheran denominations that captain Upper Midwest Protestantism. The fourth element, too dispersed to map well, although most numerous in the South, Middle West, and West, includes 1. The Pentecostals, notably the Assemblies of God, and 2. The so-called primitive and holiness denominations. The latter include the Churches of Christ, the Christian churches, the Church of God, and the Church of the Nazarene.